नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अपत्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर् उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Text 37. Iti sayantanim sandhyam asuraha pramaddayatim pralobhayantim jagrur matva mudadhyastriyam. Please repeat. Iti sayantanim sandhyam.
Iti sayantanim sandhyam.
Asuraha pramadayatim.
Asuraha pramadayatim.
Pralobhayantim jagruhur.
Pralobhayantim jagruhur.
Matva mudadhyastriyam. Iti sayantanim sandhyam.
Iti sayantanim sandhyam.
Asuraha pramadayatim.
Asuraha pramadayatim.
Pralobhayantim jagruhu.
Pralobhayantim jagruhu.
Matva mudadhyastriyam.
Matva mudadhyastriyam.
Iti sayantanim sandhyam.
Iti sayantanim sandhyam.
Asuraha pramadayatim.
Asuraha pramadayatim.
Pralobhayantim jagruhu.
Pralobhayantim jagruhu.
Matva mudadhyastriyam.
Matva mudadhyastriyam.
Iti. In this way.
In
Sayantanim.
Sayantanim.
The evening.
Sandhyam,
twilight.
Asuraha,
the demons.
Pramadayatim,
behaving like a wanton woman.
Pralobhayantim,
alluring.
Jagruhu,
seized.
Matva,
thinking to be.
Mudhadhiya,
unintelligent.
Striyam,
a woman. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The asuras, translation, the asuras clouded in their understanding. Took the evening twilight to be a beautiful woman showing herself in her alluring form, and they seized her. Please repeat. The asuras, clouded in their understanding,
took the evening twilight
to be a beautiful woman
showing herself
in her alluring form,
and they seized her.
Purport. The asuras are described here as mudadhya, meaning that they are captivated by ignorance, just like the ass. The demons were captivated by the false glaring beauty of this material form, and thus they embraced her. ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्व Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The asuras, clouded in their understanding, took the evening twilight to be a beautiful woman, showing herself in her alluring form, and they seized her. So, we are covering that aspect in the Bhagavatam. In Brahma's lifetime, when he was performing the most challenging service of creation. And this is a description of different stages in the creation. And here, when the asuras were created from the backside of Brahma. Many things happened here. There's a wonderful description. Yakshas and Rakshasas created. And they attacked him. And he gave up his body. And it's mentioned here, he gave up his body and means also describe, it's mentioned that it's not actually a physical body, it's a mentality that he gave up. And here it's mentioned that because of their asuric mentality, asuras tat viparyaya hai. Asura means one who thinks and does things opposite to the instructions of the Lord. Viparita, opposite, directly, diametrically opposite. The desire of the Lord, they are called asuras. Dvaubhuta sargaloke asmin deva asura evacha. There are two types of people in this world, devas and asuras. And asuras do directly opposite, and the suras, they follow the instructions of the Lord. In keeping with the Lord, there is a devas. So here, the description of the creation of the asuras. It's very amazing, there are deep things that we can discuss. Why should asuras be created if they are so? It's a natural question. But to trace it back further, it's not that they are being created as asuras. The mentalities that are acquired by different spirit souls, they are perpetrated, and Brahma is only creating the physical facility into which they would go. The mentalities are perpetrated. It is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita also that when we give up this body, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalivaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tat bhava bhavita. That whatever mentality, consciousness we retain at the time of death, that will be preserved. Only a physical body will be lost. And then according to that mentality, you will gain the next body and continue and perpetrate that. So there's no creation in terms of the mentality of the people, in terms of the consciousness of the people, of the spirit souls. Brahma simply creates a physical facility. So as he's creating that, demons from their previous existences also, they are created, they come in And for them, that type of bodies, that type of situations have to be made by him also. They do, he does that. And they accept and occupy that type of a situation. And then they again start perpetrating their activities. So knowing that, you see, in creation, there's a description that the very subtle aspect of creation is the sum total of the false ego of all the spirit souls in their material conditioning. That, in fact, decides what sort of creation will happen, what sort of facilities need to be made by Brahma. He has a calculation of that. In which universe, which Brahma, and the sum total of the false ego of all the living entities. How is it situated? And he creates a sum total of facility like that. And within that, each living entity takes a body according to the subtle condition he is in, from the subtle to the gross, so that he can exploit material nature in that particular way. And how much he is allowed to do according to his previous activities. So this is the management of illusion. It's very important. The pure spirit soul doesn't have it. But in the material world, the illusions, the illusory conceptions of all the living entities, they form the sum total of the policies, the material facilities and everything which Brahma creates. And we are all lodged in that according to our own desire. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. So we bring with us these tendencies. So these are asuric tendencies. Bhagavad Gita describes in detail the demoniac natures. These people with asuric tendencies, naturally, they even attacked Brahma. They even, requested Brahma of all sorts of abominable things. And here you can see Brahma is throwing his body, getting rid of them. These have all very subtle connotations to them. Very deeply involved, the asuras are very deeply involved in, it's mentioned here, ignorance. Yesterday evening we discussed about the modes of material nature. And we know how ignorance influences the spirit soul deeply. And that influence causes very deep illusion. And when a person is very deeply illusioned by tamoguna, then he can look at things in a completely different way. Very far away from seeing things as coming from Krishna. When you're cut off from Krishna and you're involved in matter, material exploitation, then you live in a completely different world. A reality is very different. What is not real is accepted as real by you. What is not real is accepted as real. So all these arrangements of creating an illusory world wherein people will be completely absorbed in matter is what is going on in creation. But within that is an embedded facility for a person who wants to know the reality. Who wants to know the reality. He can find a path out and he can experience the reality. Taking the non-real to be real is the characteristic of illusion. Illusion, maya, means that which is not. No. Ma means no. That which is not. This is an amazing thing that the spirit souls conditioned by material nature will think matter to be real and deeply involve themselves in that reality and get cheated, get very bewildered. So the more asuric, the more you will get bewildered. So here they are so asuric, directly created from Brahma. And it's mentioned here that they became allured by the form of the woman that Brahma threw to them as twilight. Twilight is not a good time. Sandhi. That Sandhi means a junction between day and night. That junction is called twilight. Twilight is the time when people take their bath, wash themselves, come and offer prayers to the Lord. In every household following some amount of culture, Vedic culture, they would be asked to wash themselves up. In my younger days, I remember that it was compulsory that you come back from playing in the evening just before sunset. You got to wash your hands, legs, everything, which was a very austere thing for us to do when you're young. Get out, go and wash, right at the tap outside the door. You'd be so dirty and everything. You just do something like that and, just sprinkle some water and try to come in, and they're sent back, washed properly. And you hate it and you, scream. And you're asked to do it, then you're asked to go into the place where there's an altar in front and chant prayers because it's Sandhi time. Watch out. And then in the households, they would go take a lamp and invite Lakshmi inside. They would go to the household door, keep the door open. They go outside, show the lamp and invite Lakshmi and come inside. And then inside there would be Aarti and everything. We were asked to chant prayers. I remember my grandmom asked me to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra those days. I was a very young kid. And I would chant Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I was, what a few times, 10, 12 times. And I just looking here and there and chanting and finishing it off so that you can go jump in and eat some food and keep, dinner or whatever it is. But you have a whole lot of prayers to chant. Why? Because they would tell you twilight. Sandhi time, don't do anything else. Offer prayers to the Lord for about 15 minutes to half an hour. So twilight here signifies something that the demons like most. It's very dear to them. Twilight for the suras and the devas is not a good time. Asuras tad viparyaya. Whatever is good for the devas is bad for the asuras. What is good for the asuras is bad for the devas. Diametrically opposite. You know the story of how Kashyapu Muni and Diti at twilight time, Diti came to Kashyapa and pressed him, saying that you should satisfy my lust. And he advises her, saying that, my dear wife, this is not at all a proper time. And I am very busy, deeply engaged in a good activity of doing Homa, Yajna, meditating on the Lord. This is not at all the time for thinking of these things. And he tries to convince her so much, but she is pushed to a great extent. And to satisfy her, he engages physically with her. And then at the end of it, when she is very ashamed, after everything is over, the twilight has passed. And then Kashyapa tells, for what you have done, you will be cursed with having two sons who will create the worst problem and just create a chaos in the whole universe. That's what happens. Why? At Sandhi time, it's mentioned that Lord Shiva, he is moving around on his vehicle. And he's followed by all the ghosts and goblins and all his followers. And whoever is engaged in any activity of sense gratification, they are attacked by the demons. Their consciousness is very severely attacked. So normally in Vedic culture at this time, that's why we have Sandhya Arati. During the Sandhya time, you're busy with the deities of the Lord and you're chanting their glorification, kirtan, bhajan, offering. This pleases the Lord very much. At the same time, if you are engaged in activity that is opposite to this, then you will be in for big trouble. This is the Vedic understanding. So people who are normally following Vedic culture would do this. And Kashyapa said this to Diti. And because of engaging in sense gratification at that time, it's mentioned that they were attacked and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born. So this is the nature of creation. Even in the whole 24-hour day, you have spots that are meant for demons. You have spots that are meant for suras. And Krishna is equal in giving opportunities to both the asuras and the devas. But the way they deal with the opportunities makes all the difference. Even if you go to South Indian temples, like if you go to Guru Ayur, they have procession of the Lord on an elephant. Very wonderful. One of the best you can see anywhere. The temple possesses some 60 elephants. Because riding on an elephant is very dear to the Lord and Guru Ayur. So when they ride the elephant, there is one type of music they play, which is completely discord. I mean, it's not really music. And I asked them, why is it like that? They said, this is Asuravada. This is the Asuras giving him a procession. And after that comes the Devas. Then you have all these instruments and everything. So the Lord is taking worship. But what they ask for is different. What they ask for is different. So Krishna is saying, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. Everybody who is created, I am equal to everybody. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. But those who worship me in devotion, I offer myself in devotion to them. So having said that, in Kali Yuga, actually, it's not that when we read these things that you get attracted to a woman's alluring form, you're a demon. It's a statement made. How do we understand that? It's sometimes seeming to be an extreme statement. But you have all grades of people at all levels. It's not that Kshatriyas don't get attracted to the alluring form of a woman and carry her away. They do that. Are they demons? Arjuna, he fell in love with Subhadra, looking at a beautiful form. And Krishna even gave him permission, you kidnap her and go. I'll manage the thing with Balaram. You know. Bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. You're my dear friend. I spoke Bhagavad Gita to you. Right? He's so close to him. And here is Arjuna saying, what about your sister? I mean, I really like her very much. He said, you can kidnap her. And then added to that, worst thing is, he came as a sannyasi, dressed as a sannyasi. He came as a sannyasi. And Balaram invited him home. Because sannyasi is invited home by the grahasthas. And Balaram invited him and Subhadra cooked. And Subhadra looked through the corner of the curtain and looked at him. Very handsome looking sannyasi. Wonderful looking sannyasi. Real square. Solidly built. And as he was stretching his hand and eating, she could see all marks on his hands. And she knew, this is not the hand of a sannyasi, a brahmana. This is the hand of a warrior. It's completely damaged and full of marks. And then he looks at her through the corner of his eyes and they both catch their eyes together. And then he kidnaps her. Sannyasi kidnapping a woman and going away. And what do you call this? Asura or not? According to this definition. So I'm sure this is what is in our minds. But we should understand that the alluring form of material nature is in itself a whole method, a methodology to run the material universe. And certain things do happen. And not that everybody who falls into those things that happen are demons. Because their intentions and the way they are fixed up in the goal of life should be examined. Because they can control themselves, they can give shelter to that particular person. They can actually follow the principles of Vedic culture. But the asuras are not getting attracted in that way. They're just getting attracted for sense gratification alone, without responsibility, without accepting the responsibility. So a person gets married. Putrartet kriyet bharya. For the sake of getting a son, a person gets married. This is Vedic culture. Why you want a son? Putra pinda prayojanam. Because a son is required to offer pinda when you pass away and do the final rites. Therefore, putra pinda prayojanam, that is the use. He saves you from the hell called punnama trayate. Saves you from the hell called put. That's why it's called putra. And therefore you get married. And you may get married according to your likes. Different people have different likes. You know, what one person likes, you know, I like somebody like this, is different from somebody else like this. It's all according to the modes of material nature. Sattva, rajas, tamas. Sometimes you wonder how this guy got married to this lady. Oh my, this is, you know, completely a mismatch, you may think. But according to the modes, you know, even a crow is getting attracted. Even a goat is getting attracted. In the Bhagavadam, King Yayati recollects the story of the he-goat and the she-goat to his wife after long years of experience in sense gratification. He said the he-goat and the she-goat looked at it, and the he-goat looked at the beautiful form of the she-goat and said, "What wonderful legs you have. What a nice nose you have. And what beep, beep you do so nicely. Look at the ears dangling. All this is beautiful to the goat." Because he's under the modes of material nature. And he gets attracted to that form. Gets attracted to that form. And he is talking about his past, Yayati, and say, "How foolish. I got attracted to you, picked you up from the well, you were naked. And then I thought, what a wonderful opportunity. And you proposed to me, I accepted. And there started all the problem for me. From then onwards, I've been completely illusioned, thinking I can live happily like this." So this way, according to the modes of material nature, people get attracted. And it's not really very consequential if the person is educated and knows what's happening. Because he can control himself. He can keep it at bay. That is the meaning of Varnashrama culture. That is the meaning of Grihastha life. That he keeps himself controlled within the confines of his Grihastha scope. Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das Goswami, in his first instance when he went and met Lord Chaitanya and said that, "I come with you. I'll give up all my household affairs, my wealth, my family, my beautiful wife and everything because I'm so overwhelmingly attracted to you." Lord Chaitanya told him, "Markata vairagya na koribe loka dekhana." You don't have to do this monkey vairagya. Markata vairagya you don't have to do so that people will appreciate you. Oh, very, very pronounced guy left his wife and went away. Loka dekhana, for other people to watch. Yata yogya bunja anashakta hana. He said, whatever is due to you in sense gratification, yata yogya, you must enjoy. But anashakta, without getting attached to it. That's a real challenge. This, what is the difference between a demon and a deva? the devas, like say, even those who are following the instructions of the Lord, like Arjuna, he can accept Draupadi, but he knows how to maintain himself according to the laws, according to the scriptures. But the asuras are the right opposite. They are simply wild. They are simply wild. And therefore Brahma throws his twilight body at him so that they can have something to pick on. They all come behind him. So he threw this twilight body at them. So there's a difference between how we deal even with sense gratification. Cultured person keeps a valve on. This is what Raghunath Das Goswami is told by Lord Chaitanya. You must have the sense gratification that is due to you and not get attached. Getting attached is the greatest challenge. It's very difficult to have sense gratification and not get attached. So you have to be dutiful in having your sense gratification. Putrartyet kriyet bharya, for the sake of producing a child. And the asuras, they won't follow anything like this. Viparita. They just don't care for scriptures, scriptural injunctions or Krishna's words. Therefore, you will see that they get bewildered in that way. So there's a subtle difference to make out. So our normal people who are following the instructions of the Lord are subjected to this bewilderment, but they know how to keep it under control by following instructions of Krishna. That's very important. So here, mudadhya, their intelligence is bewildered, and therefore they act in this particular fashion. Getting attracted to a material form is a very powerful force. It's not so easy. It's easy to talk about it. But when we are actually put in that situation, it's a great test of our Krishna consciousness. It's a great test of our intelligence, great test of our understanding of reality. When a person knows what is real and what is false, at least theoretically, then he can, to some extent, tell himself how to act and what is good and what is not good. So the Shastras describe the attraction between the sexes is the greatest impediment in spiritual life. Any person who doesn't follow that can have great challenges in his spiritual life. Therefore, when we read these things, we should know what we should not be doing and what the asuras do with great glee and great happiness and jump into. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Prabhupada quoted this and said only those people who rush inside Maya without knowing what it is. They don't know it is a great alluring trap. When you have intelligence and education, you can understand it as a trap. But the asuras don't know that they walk into it. When in my younger days, I used to hear a song by a singer called Engelbert Humperdinck. Maybe somebody of my generation would know. And he sang a song called, "Will you walk into my parlor?" said the spider to the fly. "It's the prettiest little parlor that ye ever did espy. The way up to my parlor is up a winding stair." In this way, the spider is singing to the fly. "Will you walk into my parlor?" said the spider to the fly. "It's the prettiest little parlor you ever did espy. And it's got staircases and all that." And it seems the fly will go, "Oh, really? I'm being welcomed and going and get stuck in there." Like that, the material allurement created by the Lord is so attractive, as much as the fly gets attracted to the web. It's so attractive to the spirit soul that he goes and gets stuck in it. because we get stuck in it because of our tendency to enjoy matter. That's why intelligent people, it's mentioned, who know what is real and what is not real, they can keep themselves away from that or keep themselves at bay. What is real, what is not real, is something that's very bewildering. At any point of time, we are so absorbed thinking that some things are real in this world, and they are not. Krishna is telling Uddhava, whatever you see in this world, with all its varieties and everything, is actually illusion. It does not exist. In the 11th canto. And then you will see in other places, Prabhupada has given a purport. It is not that it does not exist. Material world that is coming from Krishna cannot be non-existential. When we look at the material world in terms of our sense gratification, in terms of, this is good to enjoy, that creates all the illusion. But when you look at the material world in terms of utilizing it in the service of Krishna, then it becomes real. Because that is the reality. When we look at it in terms of wanting to enjoy it for our own gratification, then illusion starts. You see. So it's not that the material world, it doesn't exist in the sense physically doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in the sense of reality because you want to try to enjoy it. In the same way, woman's alluring form, when we look at it only in terms of us enjoying it, then you fall into illusion. And this is a very powerful illusion. For a man, in Bhagavatam it says, there is no other illusion which is so complete and so deep. There's a shloka, I remember, forget that shloka, in the Bhagavatam that says that. So therefore, demons, asuras, they very easily fall into it. And in the material world, especially in the civilization today, people having accepted the non-real as a reality from morning to evening, they dwell in it, live in it, and they don't care about the reality. So much ignorant, like you're saying, I don't know that you don't know. You see, if you go through education process, it starts from, you know, unconscious incompetence, where you don't know that you don't know. And through various stages, then you go into, oh, I know that I don't know. Conscious incompetence. Right? Then you go to the stage of unconscious competence. You become so expert that you can sleep and do it. You're not even conscious of the fact that you can do it and you know it. That's the apex. You know, you're an expert, a master. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was like that. You know, when you see his behavior, the way he did, in his spat, he gave you a reply. He never did a mistake. He never replied any time, oh, I'm sorry, that was wrong. This is the right thing. This is what I wanted to say, actually. You never see him saying that. When he speaks 100% with full confidence, and he's speaking the truth. He never retracts. Even if he said, man never landed on the moon, he never went back on it. The whole world was celebrating man landing on the moon. And here is a 70-year-old monk from somewhere in India who has no assets, nothing with him. He points the cane and said, the moon is not a place that you can go to. He never landed on the moon. He never retracted it. Even his followers, some of them left it. You can't take this. We are Americans. We have, you know, one step for mankind and all the stuff they said. And he didn't retract it. And 30, 40 years later, they say that, yeah, they never went to the moon. It was a you know, bogus expedition. Speak the truth. Always. Srila Prabhupada never made a mistake. Never made a mistake. So these are all signs of a person who is a master. It's what I mean, unconscious competence. I don't have to think what to answer, how to do it. One, two, three, tick the other one. This, all sorts of things. It just spontaneously comes out of him. No. When his disciple Rameshwar Prabhu, that time Rameshwar Maharaj, he interpreted, a reporter was asking Prabhupada, how do you get instructions? How do you know what to do? Does Krishna speak to you? And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna speaks to me. I speak to Krishna and he tells me what to do. And the reporter is stunned. And then Rameshwar says, you know what Swamiji means is, he gave his own interpretation. And Prabhupada watched and said, no, Krishna speaks to me. And Rameshwar was equally stunned as the reporter. Really? Prabhupada corrected him. No, Krishna speaks to me. And I do according to that. And considering the fact that everything else Prabhupada spoke was to the point and 100% true, this is also true. I am advised by Krishna what to do and I follow it. This is the other side of the Asuric belt. Those people who completely follow the instructions of the Lord and therefore the Lord gives them instructions. It's easy to understand that. If you're prepared to follow, I'm prepared to give you instruction because you follow it and you execute it. On the other side, you don't follow, I don't give you instruction, you can remain under my material energy. So, here you see the asuras are like that, diametrically opposite. They're getting entangled in Krishna's illusion. And they think that to be reality. And that world is the world that we live in. And in Kali Yuga it's mentioned that demoniac tendencies and daivik tendencies are directly present in every human being. There are no, separately demons with great, horns and this thing actually existing. They all wear coat, suit, boot, and you can never make out who's a demon. They look very good, clean shaven. But their mentality is demoniac. You know, how to become God. How to genetically modulate this tomato. How to, bad design. And it doesn't have shelf life. It just oozes. When I want to make a sandwich, it just falls down. All the juice. It doesn't stick on the sandwich. How to make the tomato fit for the sandwich and fit for the shelf. Tweak around with all the genetical stuff in it. That here is a tomato that you can play cricket with. It will not split. And when you cut it, the juice just remains vertical like that. Wow! Throw it on the sandwich. And where did you get this tomato from? It's so good. We designed it. God does not know how to do it properly. We redesigned it. This is demon. And a lot of them, nice kids from Brahmin houses. What are you doing? Genetics. Why? You're just tweaking around with God's design because it's not proper. And creating all sorts of new things. This is actually demoniac science. Right? This is demoniac science. And unbeknownst to them, they are engaged in it. This is what Prabhupada said, your intelligence is lost. Maya apahrita jnana asurim bhavam ashrita. So unbeknownst to us, we are engaged. But only because of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's books and the information given that if you keenly study what you are doing, you know you have a demoniac tendency being encouraged inside you in the external world. The devotees keep away from that because they have intelligence, because they chant Hare Krishna. Here it's mentioned Mudathya, lost your intelligence, befooled by material nature. But a devotee, he gets intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantide tesham satatiyuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. My devotee is given intelligence by me because he is constantly worshipping me, thinking of me, is chanting my holy names, serving me. I will give him intelligence to keep away from this. He will be able to distinguish, wow, I can see a red light here. I don't want to get into this. It looks very smooth, very nice, suave, and coming to you as a nice proposal. I don't want this. And people think you're foolish or what? You're losing such an amazing, wonderful opportunity to go up the ladder. I don't want it. I don't want it. Because it kills me. Kills me deeply. Kills my devotion deeply. In fact, it makes me more demoniac. So the demoniac tendencies, it's mentioned in Kali Yuga, are not present separately outside like demons are. But they can be at every time present in front of us, and we have to exercise our choice and accept this or that. That is why it's very necessary to read Prabhupada's books. That is why it's very necessary for us to make right choices. Very big contribution Prabhupada has done to the world by teaching them these things uncompromisingly. Whatever you may think, this is reality, and he presents it. Take it, leave it. Right? That's why it says, Keho mane, keho na mane, sabai tandra dasa. Yehi na mane, tari hoi, sei papanasha. Keho mane, some people accept, some people don't. But the fact is, everybody is your servant. Keho mane, keho na mane, sabai tandra dasa. Those who don't accept your instructions, don't accept you, they will simply destroy themselves with sinful activities. They'll destroy themselves. That's what you can see the asuras doing. Therefore, caution. We should not immediately think that I have no problem, I'm not an asura. That's the first thing your mind tells you. Oh, that's for asuras, not me. But that's, you have to be very careful. There may be some subtle plans there. Never take anything for granted. You see, asura does not mean that you don't have horns and canines coming out of your lips, protruding from your lips. It doesn't mean that alone. When people do these type of things, they are asuric. So we should try not to engage ourselves in these type of things. It's a long plan. Sometimes it's very difficult for us. We may be engaged in jobs, things because of necessity. But gradually one should withdraw himself and try to focus on Krishna consciousness very deeply inside. Analyze his own mentality, his tendencies, his proclivities, and segregate them. And this is what is intelligent living. You have to think deeply every time you do or examine what you did and why you did, what were the motivating factors. And in this way, gradually a person purifies himself. He gets the strength to do it by chanting Hare Krishna offenselessly, reading Prabhupada's books. That is what is the meaning of Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Yesterday we were explaining how this is Krishna's university. It's floated by Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, branches all over the world. In this university, you don't need to have intelligence to get in. If you simply have faith in Krishna's words, if you have willing to follow his instructions, then Krishna is saying, I will give you intelligence to understand it and get back to me. You don't have to pay a big fee. You don't even have to be very intelligent. You simply have to have faith, sincerity, and Krishna makes all arrangements to guide you back. Right? But if you get attracted to the material realm simply because of lack of intelligence, which is again because of lack of understanding about God and having information, then we will be lost. So we can understand from these pastimes that how Brahma is very intelligently handling the situation, and how Krishna is supporting him in creation. How he rejects his body, how he does certain things quickly at the right time, because he's keeping himself very much closely in touch with Krishna. Even then he has problems, sometimes he slips. It's a very difficult service Brahma does, directly keeping in touch with Maya, material nature, and crafting material bodies and residences for the spirit souls. It's a very high level of service, very challenging, handling material nature. It's not a joke. So many of us are involved in some way or the other in the modern world, also handling genetics, this tweaking around this and that. Brahma doesn't do that way. I'll make it better than Krishna did. No, he knows I am the secondary creator. I'll completely follow what the primary creator Krishna has asked me to do and nothing more. And when I get a little bewildered, I know what to do. Very intelligent. That's why Brahma is the most intelligent person. Even though he had some mishaps, he's still the most intelligent person, because the very less accident he had. It's an accident he was quickly saved from. Sometimes, oh, even Brahma, like that. So, you know what is the service compared to what you're doing? That's nothing. That's nothing. A very small factor. You see. So therefore, we should understand how these things are working in terms of Krishna consciousness. Brahma is protected by Krishna because he is dealing with material nature. And that's why he's able to do these things. Discard the body as before it becomes a trouble for himself. He discards the body and discards that mentality, and he goes on his devotional service. Similarly, when we are challenged in some way, we should be prepared to give up that mentality. Quickly change, accept the shelter of Krishna, and this way progress. Those mentalities are meant for people like asuras to feed on. Because mudatiya, they have lost their intelligence. Devotees remain dynamically intelligent, constantly depending on Krishna, and therefore constantly taking intelligence, receiving intelligence, and acting according to that. That's very important. Om Tat Sat, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Any comments or questions? Ananyas chintayanto maam ye jana paryupasate. Is prepared to carry the good karma you have and the devotional service that you have done. Let's carry it further. Tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamiham. So whatever you have done from the past, devotional service, and if you have some good activities you've done, you use them for serving Krishna. And if you don't have some aspects that is needed for your service, tadami buddhi yogam tam, I'll give it to you. So you become wholesome. Gradually. That's what is my understanding. It's not that you have to completely reject even the good karma and everything that you have, throw away everything and, you know, become a beggar and go to Krishna. He says, no. You can utilize everything in the service of Krishna. Rather than utilizing everything in sense gratification, you change, use everything, my assets, whatever assets I have, tangible assets I have, properties, money, position, name, fame, or intangible assets I may have, all those things can be utilized in the service of the Lord. And everything, anything that you lack in coming towards me, I will provide it for you. Yenamam upayantite. This is what I understand. If you take up Krishna's devotional service, whatever you lack will be supplied by Krishna. And whatever you have, you utilize in the service of Krishna. So you may be somebody who doesn't know something. Devotees don't need to be bothered much. In the material world, everything can be provided by Krishna if you want to serve him, according to how he wants to use you. For that, everything is provided. If you're following his instruction, everything is provided for serving him and going back to Godhead. But for your material sense gratification, you will get only as per your karma. He's not going to give dadami buddhi yogam dham for you to have sense gratification. That's what he's saying. To come to me, I'll give you. He's also super intelligent, obviously. You see? To come to me, I'll give you intelligence. That's the whole thing. Yes. Those are all the problems in Kali Yuga. So many things happen. So many permutations and combinations of their activities in the past and the force of Kali. So you have all sorts of things happening. So you may not always be able to do Pinda offering the way. But then there are other alternatives given in the Vedic literatures. If not this, this, then this, and this. I don't know the details, but it's even. I think your brother's son does it, or something like that. There are all sorts of things you can do. Your question is, why not females do it? Well, as mentioned in the Vedic literature, that they don't do it. You get the male members, relatives, and all them to do. That's how it's mentioned. I think in Kali Yuga, as time goes, many things change. Nowadays, it's not like you can say male, female also. When I went to the passport office recently in India, the form it says, did you have a sex change since you last got your passport? I said, did you give me the right form? It's the right form. It is the right form, fill it up. I said, no, it's not my, no, it is. There are guys doing that. You know, they got the previous passport as a male and now they become a female. So they come again and get another passport. So they want to know whether you got already a passport in your previous gender. And this is a common thing. The way Kali Yuga, you know, manifests itself, I think, as thing goes, I'm sure in the future there won't be something like sex male, female. It'll be what percentage male, what percentage female. It's a tendency in Kali Yuga. You see, many men are very effeminate and women become a little more manly. All these are accepted facts. And sometimes there is fight as to who is superior and all that. But the main foundational thing is something else is happening. You know, it's Kali Yuga stuff. So I think in the future, I mean, we'll have a challenge. How to decide, you know, male, female domains. Anyway, that's for the future generations and it's got to handle. Yeah, that's a complex question. Okay? Hari Bol, yes. In spirit?
In spiritual world, these esoteric mentalities does not exist.
Yeah.
So where are these coming from?
They're coming from the material world. That's where they exist. And we are in the material world, by the way.
But Brahma is still creating the material.
Yeah. He creates for asuras and for you. And for the devas. They both exist in the same place. Yeah. They operate side by side. Factions. Two factions. That's where they constantly fight. There are wars. And Krishna comes and very diplomatically, neutrally does things. And he advises both of them. And the devas always come and ask him only to relieve themselves from the asuric. you know, interference. And Krishna advises that you should actually develop pure devotion to me, and that's the way to get out of the situation. So sometimes even the demons become devotees. Prahlad, Vritrasura, Bali Maharaj. Which is interesting. Good place, interesting place. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Radhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Matai Guru Premanande.